Thank you. As I said, my name is Jeff Atkinson. I'll be presenting today, and I'd like to thank my committee members, Dr. McCarty, Dr. Toller, Dr. Liu, and Dr. Faust, all of Clemson University. Shade stress is something that you see many on many golf courses, a problematic condition. With people, their love of trees, their love of the natural environment, especially around their close, around their putting greens, putting surfaces. It's typically because of the affection people have for their trees and these other structures that are causing the shade. The removal of the trees in particular is a no-no in many areas. This leads to yearly reestablishment via sodding that can cause disruption in play for numerous weeks at a time on a yearly, year-to-year basis. What we want to look at in the research was to aim at taking a look at diamond zoysia grass, which you know is zoysia grass compared to Bermuda grass, what's typically used in our southern warmer climate putting surfaces. Look at it for its ability to be a viable candidate for putting green use under the shaded environments. Diamond zoysia grass is a fine textured turf, highly rhizomatous, vegetatively propagated, suitable for warmer climates. But the question we want to look at is it more shade tolerant? The growth regulator that we use to try to improve the shade tolerance of diamond is Trinexpac Ethyl or Primo. It's a foliar zoysia PGR, a trade name Primo Max 1EC, which we used in this study. Manufactured by Syngenta Corp, and it operates with a temporary inhibition of gibberellic acid biosynthesis, which leads to decreased cell elongation and reduced internode lengths. Previous studies have shown the ability of application of Trinexpac Ethyl to increase the shade tolerance of warm season turf grasses. This study was done several years ago at Clemson University looking at the increase of shade tolerance of Tiff Eagle Bermuda grass. You can see the darker green, the patches, darker green patches are the plots with the application of Trinexpac Ethyl. So as I said, the objective of the study was to investigate the tolerance of diamond zoysia grass to shade with and without the use of Trinexpac Ethyl. All the studies were done on a diamond zoysia grass putting green at Clemson University, established in the summer of 2007. The study was conducted over 2 years. The timing of shade application coincided with 4 weeks before the summer solstice and 16 weeks past the summer solstice, or May 23rd and 24th, respectively, in 2008 and 29, and being removed October 30th and 31st in 2008-2009. Shade tent construction suspended 45 centimeters above the ground using a neutral density polyfiber black shade cloth, reducing equal amounts of light throughout the photosynthetic spectrum. You can see they're fastened into the ground to prevent any type of movement from environmental conditions, storms, wind, what have you. Application rate of your Trinexpac Ethyl was 1.5 ounces per acre per week, or 13 thousandths of kilogram active acre per hectare per week, in one EC formulation. Using a CO2 backpack sprayer operating at a 20 gallons per acre and 8003 flat fan nozzles. We had three replications, two by 1.5 meter plots. Means were separated using LSD at a significance level of 0.05. See our study layout, three replications. The replications were split between Trinexpac Ethyl treatments with no TE and with TE, and with the individual blocks randomized as 90%, 60%, and full sun within the three treatments. Measurements, as far as we measure turf quality, with one being dead turf and nine being ideal turf. Percent lateral regrowth was a point intersect method. Extracted a cup cutter 4 1/4 inch plug, made a grid to the same diameter of the cup cutter and denoted a percentage lateral regrowth over time by counting the points as the grass regrew into the void. Total non-structural carbohydrates measured on the last day of each study for both years and reported in milligrams per gram of fresh root weight. As in results, first I'll talk about turf grass quality. To set up our graphs on your y-axis, you have your turf quality levels of 1 being dead turf and 9 being ideal turf. And on the bottom, you have our months from that the study was conducted from June to October. And we start to see in our left graph here, we have turf quality without TE. In our right graph, we have turf quality with TE. We start to see a separation in the month of August in treatments not receiving TE. Our turf quality of 0% shade and 60% shade continue to remain relatively consistent and above our commercially acceptable levels. However, in the month of August, we start to see in July and more. It's more prevalent in August. You see a severe drop in turf quality compared in 90% shade compared to 0% and 60% shade. And treatments receiving Trinexpac Ethyl, you see that 0% and 60% shade still remain relatively similar, while you still have a drop in 90% shade with Trinexpec ethyl application. However, it's not as severe as treatments not receiving Trinexpec ethyl. And to kind of visualize that, you don't see too many differences between any of the 0% shade treatments or the 60% shade treatments. However, you're starting to see some a good bit of separation in your 90% shade treatments. This is August 22nd, which is 91 days after the implementation of shade. These trends continued throughout 2008, where at the end of 2008, in treatments not receiving Trinexpec ethyl, you see relatively similar turf grass quality levels on and 0 and 60% shade. However, 90% shade is showing dead turf. Once again, the trends from 91 days after initiation of shade continue 147 days after initiation of shade in treatments receiving Trinexpec ethyl. As you see, once again, similar turf quality between 0 and 60% shade with and a reduction in 90% shade. However, it's not as much of a reduction when compared to 90% shade without Trinexpec ethyl. Once again, it's the same picture, same setup, 0% shade, 60% shade. Not seeing too many difference. However, 90% shade, you start to see a large difference between the shade treatments. And to look at this graph, it's the same data, just easier to see as far as shade treatments comparing Trinexpec ethyl treatments within shade treatments. You'll see here, and this is just in 2008, there's not really any significant differences except for in 90% shade, where Trinexpec ethyl treatment and all the rating dates from July through October are increasing significantly the turf quality levels. This is a final rating date on October 17th. You see that 90% shade, while this picture is not a commercially acceptable turf quality, it's much improved compared to treatments not receiving Trinexpec ethyl. In 2009, just as an illustration, you'll see the same in 90%. These were all conducted on the same plots from year to year. So in 90% shade, treatments not receiving Trinexpec ethyl showed dead turf throughout the year. 60% shade and 0% shade without Trinexpec ethyl remained relatively consistent until August, and you started to see a decline in 60% shade treatments not receiving Trinexpec ethyl. At turf quality in 2009, with treatments with Trinexpec ethyl, you see relatively consistent 0 and 60% shade throughout the study year, and 90% shade throughout the study year. Study year stays relatively consistent as well, however, it's much decreased from 0 and 60% shade. Here's on the last rating date of 2009. See 0% reduced light environment or 0% shade with and without Trinexpec ethyl, relatively similar, and also relatively similar to 60% shade with Trinexpec ethyl. However, we started to see a decline. You see the scalping injury seen in 60% shade with without Trinexpec ethyl, and also 90% with and without Trinexpec ethyl show a thinning out in turf quality decline. Once again, we show here that we same table with our different levels of shade, our months, and our Trinexpec ethyl treatments. Under 90% shade, the application of Trinexpec ethyl continued to increase turf quality throughout the all of 2009, especially, and then we see what we saw different from 2008 and 2009. You see an increase in September and October of turf quality and treatments receiving Trinexpec ethyl under 60% shade. As you can see, this is just a more isolated picture of the two, 60% shade without TE and 60% shade with TE, as the improvement of turf quality in treatments receiving Trinexpec ethyl compared to the scalping injury seen in 60% shade not receiving Trinexpec ethyl. Once again, in 90%, which it's also not commercially acceptable turf. However, compared to treatments not receiving Trinexpec ethyl in 90% shade, much improved. The second measurement I want to talk about, lateral regrowth, percentage lateral regrowth. It's interesting to note a couple things. This is your 2008 data. On your y-axis, you have your percentage of your lateral regrowth, and on your x-axis are your months. Your left graft is no Trinexpec ethyl, and your right graft is with Trinexpec ethyl application. You see that until August, in treatments not receiving TE, that your lateral regrowth remains relatively consistent until August, until you see a sharp decline from August to October, which coincides with your with the turf density decline. And treatments receiving Trinexpec ethyl, treatments receive, or they compared to 0% shade, treatments remain relatively consistent until we start to see a slight slowing of lateral regrowth in 90% shade during September and October months. That's due to not necessarily a turf decline or turf cover decline, but you're just starting to see a weakening of your turf health. Once again, this table is showing the differences in shade treatments between Trinexpec ethyl treatments. As you can see, in 60% shade, you're seeing an increase or a decrease in lateral regrowth due to Trinexpec ethyl application slowing cell elongation and internode length. That's also seen in 90% shade in the month of August. However, the interesting thing to point out here is a reversal of your trend. You see 0% lateral regrowth in October and 75% lateral regrowth in October in treatments receiving Trinexpec ethyl due to the application of the Trinexpec ethyl increasing turf cover or keeping turf cover under 90% shade throughout the 2008 study year. In total non-structural carbohydrates, measuring root carbohydrates, this graph was showing three different levels of shade, 0, 60, and 90. 2008 and 2009 are both presented on the same table. This table we're actually presenting comparing different levels of shade back to the 0% level of shade. So here we see that only under 90% shade do we have a significant difference from 35 to 0, 27 to 0, and 35 to 19. I'm seeing that application of shade is there obviously reducing levels of carbohydrate in your roots. An interesting comparison also, you look at how the actual application of TE affects the concentration of carbohydrates in your roots. And as once again, you see that application of TE increases in 90% shade your carbohydrate concentration in your roots. And so in conclusion, 0 and 60% shade with and without Trinexpec ethyl had acceptable turf quality throughout the study. In 90% shade, while the treatments not receiving Trinexpec ethyl were completely absent of turf cover, application of Trinexpec ethyl increased the turf quality on average about 5.5 points, 5.5 turf quality points. Lateral regrowth application of Trinexpec ethyl slowed about 10%. And 0% shade, all treatments, 60% shade and 60% shade plus Trinexpec ethyl had the highest total non-structural carbohydrates at the end of the study year, at the end of 2009. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Okay, any questions? Questions for any of the speakers? Any speakers left besides me?
Barry, I got a question for you.
Sure.
Which is, you were having some problems with weeds. I think Dallas grass was one, and then you have some Bermuda grass invading. This is the dog park.
Yeah.
So the Bermuda grass was taking over one of the tall fescue.
Where the tall fescue had been.
I just wonder, you know, if you're trying to maintain a dog park, and if it's green and it grows, I mean, should people be encouraging or allowing these effective, Bermuda grass that took over the tall fescue was doing great. So,
yeah.
What would you do? Would you manage the weeds or not?
I'd manage what was there. I mean, I'd try to keep it in turf, something that's going to be permanent and not kind of ugly.
Is Dallas less seasonal?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if they're solely against using a pesticide in there. I mean, I think we could have a little better quality turf if we took the Dallas grass out. But if they're not going to allow that, there's not much we can do about it. And it does, you know, it's a decent turf through the summer. So I don't know what's the man in most of it.
Yeah, you didn't show us any pictures of any dogs. What kind of traffic damage was it? Where? Or was it?
There's a little bit of wear and then there's digging. And if there is a, you know, if they poop, that's the urine tract. You know, everybody then comes and pees on that poop. And so, you know, that spot can be bad for probably, and then they'll grow. You know, if you get ready, it'll grow out of it. If you don't get rain, it'll hang around a little while longer. Every once in a while, a dog will just dig a hole someplace for some reason. I don't know why. But they do, but then, if it's a spreading grass, they'll cover back over it. If it's not a, slower grass, like centipede grass or something like that, they'll have trouble repairing that in a timely manner.
Are there any of the different turfs more or less susceptible to urine damage?
Not that I could tell. They all did about the same.
I had someone tell me they were constructing a dog park in South Florida.
Okay.
And they wanted to use zoysia grass, but it just, refused to heal up from urine damage. And so they found that grass type unacceptable.
Okay. The zoysias that I had did fine. Palisades and Zoro are pretty aggressive because as those go, and the Meyer did fine too. But I had a very wet year, probably more rain than normal in that year that I looked at. Much more rain than normal in the year that I examined that. So maybe the year where we have more extended dry periods, that could be a problem.
Yeah, I get questions about dog urine, and I think there's some myth involved.
There's all kinds of myths about dog urine. People think that some say it's acid. It's coming out of a living animal. There's not much that comes out of us that isn't about neutral pH. Some people say it's costly. Because they think, it's ammonia. And I know where that comes from. It's urea, ammonia, high pH. That's not true. But some say it's an acid. There's wise tales you should, if your dog pees, you should throw a line right behind you. Or, probably the best thing you can do on a lawn is if your dog pees there, if you can follow it up with a good spray of water and dilute it.
Wash it down.
It very much depends on the dog. Some dogs, especially that first urine in the morning, where they've been sleeping all night, someone really concentrates all through the year. And that can, some dogs leave a spot every morning, where other dogs that are big drinkers or whatever, some more dilute urine. Female dogs put it all in one spot, where male dogs would spread around all over and not hit, they never hit the same spot twice almost. So it's usually a female dog. Some people say that if the dog is not spayed, where they are on an ester site, affect the concentration of the urine.
I see these things and it seems a little bit far out. Another was to make your dog drink tomato juice.
Then that's supposed to dilute, you're giving them an acid, that's supposed to dilute the caustic effects of the urine.
And then the dog develops gout in 3 years.
there is a product on the market that you're supposed to put out on the dog spots. I can't remember what was in it, but I have seen that. There is one paper out there that some veterinarian wrote. He looked at Bermuda grass, tall fescue, bluegrass, and grain rye.
You didn't consider using perennial ryegrass here?
No. Overseed. Now, there have been people that have, say we ought to overseed the dog park for the winter. But if you want to have any decent Bermuda grass in there, that's probably not a good thing. And then you got to maintain the dog park in the winter. Or if you park directly, people don't want to do that. There's nothing there.
Very interesting. Great to see you.
Okay. Good to meet you.
Good to meet you. Yeah. Okay.
Keep you posted on our seashore path down with our research.
Yeah. Hopefully, maybe this spring or something, I can come out and visit with you a little bit. All right. It's going to slow down a little bit. There's a way to see what you got going. Okay. All right. Take care.
I hope you can complete this in some kind of a fact sheet, because I think it's a fairly commonly asked question.
Oh yeah, that's kind of what I did. How did dogs interact with each other? Right by, you know, it's a mile from my house.
Yeah.
Take my dogs there. So I just thought.
That's great. And oh. I mean, at least you've got some data, you know, to start talking from. But obviously, I think that there's behavior aspects and oh, yeah. a lot more than just a magic bullet. But you know, dogs are subspecies or diggers, I had a lady that called me. She had a problem with guinea pigs. I guess they were, for some reason they were breeding guinea pigs, and they were letting them run around the lawn. And they were sufficiently dense, they were causing traffic problems.
Wow. Well, that's the thing, you know, this whole dog park, the old baseball field, it's fenced all the way around it. And you're not going to get grass growing in that fence, or right by that fence, because there are certain dogs that will go around and they'll walk that entire perimeter.
Yeah.
You know, and mark or whatever, and you just can't keep that, you know. If you want cover there, it's going to be mulch or something like that to handle that traffic. There is, you know, eventually you're going to get enough wet traffic that you're going to,
you know,
break down the grass there.
Well, I wonder if they could, you know, maybe put ribs around the edge so that there'd be a transition to, I guess what I'm thinking about is like when you want to, you've got a littoral shelf sort of around the edge of the lake, but instead of having it just perfectly flat, you have a rib so that there's a certain roughness, so maybe that the dogs, when it starts getting bumpy,
we had something there that maybe didn't hurt its feet, but
yeah.
Where discouraged them from walking.
Put a little variable.
Yeah.